Hello and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls in Caution Tape. As always, I'm your host, Tyra.
And I'm Sonia.
And we know that if you're listening to us that you kind of like murder, but not in a creepy way. And that's cool because I do too. So it's
fine. Don't kill people.
Yes, fine. Please follow us on Instagram at Two Girls in Caution Tape. Follow us on Twitter at Two Girls in Caution Tape. On Instagram, we post updates about, like, the cases and stuff like that, and on Twitter, we're working on it, it's getting there, we're doing fine, and, basically just, like, yeah, comment on our posts, recommend us to friends, leave suggestions, questions, anything you would like. You can DM us, even, if you're like, I really hate you. No.
Don't do that.
Only DM us if you have good news. We will be sad.
But if that's what you're feeling like today.
Sure, yeah.
Then go for it.
Today's case is pretty publicized. You probably know what we're talking about. And if you haven't, then that's great, too. It's an interesting one. It's quite out there.
What is it? Okay, never mind. I'm not going to ask.
Why not?
Because I don't want to spoil. Because I think I know what the case is, but I'm not
sure. You do. I've told you.
Oh, so Lululemon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like... Because you said it's publicized... Because you said it's really publicized, and I haven't really heard much about it other than, like,
There are a bunch of other, like, podcasts.
Well, yeah, like, other podcasts, but, like, I haven't seen anything, like, be, like, a big news thing.
Yeah, so I was confused. Like, you forgot what I told you, like, 2 days ago.
No, I was like, wait, I've never heard of, like, the Lululemon murder on, like, ABC News.
I was debating telling you to act like you've never heard any of this stuff before.
Be like,
then you've been like, wow, oh my god.
What's Lululemon?
Yeah. Have you ever shopped there? Have you ever gotten anything from Lulu? I can't afford it.
Looked at it. I have admired it.
I've admired it, perhaps from afar, perhaps from the screen of my iPad, but I have not really, I've not ever shopped there. It's a little too
expensive. I admire the girls that walk in and walk out with a huge ass bag.
Yeah, I'm like...
Not that I admire them, I think
I'm jealous a little bit.
I want to be them.
Yeah, I want to be them, yeah.
But you know what? Yeah. Maybe we'll get there at one point.
Yes. If you've listened to our podcast, recommend us to people, get some more listens in,
then we can get Lululemon.
Yes. Well, you know what? Let's just dive right into it. On the morning of April 12th, 2011... By the way, guys, 2011, 9 years ago, if you want your mind blown, because there's some current events that happened during this case, which you'd be like, that was 9 years ago? Anyways.
And you realize how old you are.
Yeah. A Lululemon employee by the name of Rachel Ortley, I think, she arrived to the Bethesda store in Maryland to open up the store for the day. And Bethesda is, you know, kind of like a suburb of D.C. It was early, but, you know, this was before 8 o'clock. But there are already people there because right next to this Lululemon store, there was an Apple store. And guess which product was being released?
iPhone 5?
No, it was the iPad 2.
Oh my god.
Anyways, there was a huge line outside. I thought they were, by the time it was 2011, they'd already have to be on like iPad 6. But I guess not. I guess I'm wrong about that. But
no, yeah, because I feel like, I don't know. I am also have no clue about iPads.
Sure, yeah. So Rachel was like, whatever, okay. And she went to go unlock the door, and she was like, what the heck, it's unlocked, what the heck is going on here, people? That's not what's supposed
to
be like.
They stole all the Lululemon.
Yeah, and she had known the girl that was, working there the night before, and it was supposed to, like, lock up, and she was like, that's, like, not like her at all. And when she walked inside, everything was a mess. Clothes were strewn about. Mannequins were everywhere. There's a TV toppled over. It looked like the store had been ransacked and, you know, robbed and everything. And there was even blood everywhere, leading back to the back part of the store with bloody footprints. And she was like, okay, this is too much. She left and walked inside the store and, you know, this was like awful. But before she had left, she had heard a small groan coming from the back where there were changing rooms and a restroom and everything. And she was like, oh, hell no. So she runs out of the store and someone nearby who's waiting to buy their fancy iPad 2.
Oh my God.
I know, comes out. And this guy, his name is Ryan, and he's like a stand-up citizen. He's like who you want there to be, you know, if your house is on fire. And he's
one of those, like...
He's one of those, like, your problem type of guys.
Yeah, like, oh, someone else will do it.
Yeah. He was like, you know what? I'll go outside. I'll make sure everything's okay. Like, obviously, that something's not right. No, he discovers it's just more of the same. More blood spattered everywhere, including onto the walls and the ceilings, at least 6 feet high. And then he sees two bodies. One is lying on the floor in a pool of blood, and the body was so badly beaten that he was like, it's a dude. Some guy's lying here on the ground. He's dead. And then the second body is lying in the bathroom with cuts all over their body, like on their torso and on their head, on their arms, and, you know, a significant one on their forehead. And this body had been bound with zip ties, and the arms were held above their head at the zip ties, and the legs had also been bound with the zip ties. Both of the bodies were just appeared to be dead or dying. The second person that he found, the one with the zip ties, her yoga pants had been cut so in a way so that her lady bits were exposed. Yeah.
That's just, like,
Like, ugh. Like, I didn't even, like, the trauma. Like,
I'm thinking of just, like, walking into that.
I'm thinking about that therapy bill. Like, it's
gonna... Oh, my God.
Like, it's gonna be long. Ryan is, like... Yeah, okay, this shit ain't normal. This is not Lululemon's deal. So he runs out. He tells Rachel to call the police because it appears like there was a second body and that was alive and breathing. And Rachel had called the police previously and they were on their way. And when the police arrived, it was clear this was a murder or robbery gone wrong. The two women were actually the victims. So the first body was so badly beaten that you thought it was a guy.
Oh, my God. Because everything's probably swollen by that point.
Yeah, swollen, bruised, bloody, ugh. The two women were Jaina Murray and Brittany Norwood. Jaina was dead at the scene, lying in a pool of blood, badly, badly beaten. Brittany, however, was still alive, and she appeared to have been sexually assaulted.
And Brittany was the one that was in zip ties.
Yeah. Jaina was lying face down, her head was battered in, and she was literally soaked head to toe in blonde. Like, she had beautiful, like, long blonde hair. I think, like, I didn't really look at the pictures, and from what I read from other resources, is that her hair was just, like, covered in red. Just like Brittany, though, her yoga pants were cut in a way that it seemed like she had also been sexually assaulted, and she was determined to be dead at the scene. Brittany, however, was brought to the hospital, and the staff were prepared to look at her injuries as if they were super, super life-threatening. They found, however, that unlike Jaina, all of Brittany's injuries were superficial, and they couldn't have done any big damage. She had a major-ish cut on the webbing between her thumb and her index finger.
Mm-hmm.
And then a significant one on her forehead. Still, they were like, she was sexually assaulted. Like, she went through a lot of trauma. Like, this has got to be awful. But there was no evidence of that either. And after a nurse that had specialized sexual assault examined her, they were like, what the hell is going on?
Wait, but she still had her...
yoga pants
ripped. As if she was sexually assaulted.
Why was one girl so heavily beaten while the other wasn't at all? Brittany was actually really lucky. She was released from hospital only after 2 days. There is an explanation to all of this, and it gets even more sinister. So, let's go back, just 24 hours-ish earlier. March 11th, 2011. The Lululemon store in Bethesda, Maryland was thriving. You know, it was like part of an outdoor mall with like an Apple store right next to it, and you know, at the time this happened, Apple was releasing its iPad DOS, its iPad 2, its iPad Psi. Say two in Russian. Wow. Oh my God, are you Russian or something?
I don't know, it might be.
Bethesda itself was, I'm not sure if I'm saying that quite right, but I think it is, although it'd be like Bethesda, I don't know. It was, like, quite a small town. It wasn't really big enough, and, like, you know, to have, like, significant stuff. Like, this doesn't happen.
So this was, like, a big, like, town.
It was big-ish, kind of. I mean, it's a suburb, kind of a suburb of D.C. You know, it wasn't a big town. There were, like, a big city. They're, like, murder is happening everywhere. It's not Albuquerque.
Yeah. Well.
No hate on Albuquerque.
I also don't think this happens in Albuquerque. I feel like this is definitely.
This is true.
Extreme.
Yeah. But it was big enough and, you know, rich enough to have a Lululemon and an Apple store, and it had, like, an outdoor mall, and it was great. So the two employees working there that night were closing up the store together, and there were, like I said before, Jaina Murray and Brittany Norwood. And Jaina was, like, responsible for closing up the store, and that's when things go awry. Because the date actually happened normally. This didn't happen when customers were around. Let's get into it. First of all, let's get into the autopsy for Jaina. The autopsy revealed some horrible, horrible things. Do you want to guess how many injuries she sustained?
25.
Oh, no. No, give another guess. A little bit more up.
A little bit more up?
Significantly more.
115.
She sustained 331 injuries. Yeah. And she was alive for nearly all of them. And this was proven because, you know, if you get if you're hit or you're cut or whatever, blood flows to it. You bruise or you bleed or whatever. And almost all the wounds were bleeding. So that was indicating the blood was still flowing, right? There were 99 sharp force injuries with, like, a knife or something. 100 wounds to the head that cracked in multiple places. I know. 105 of the wounds were defensive, so they kind of overlapped. So Jaina was fighting back. Another aspect of the wounds is that 6 of them were blunt force wounds to her head, so, like, at least concussion-inducing.
Yeah.
One of the blunt force, like, trauma injuries crushed her skull, and this caused bruising to the internal part of her skull. And an autopsy technician said that they saw similar injuries to those involved in car accidents. And bad car accidents. There's also several stab wounds, 1 to her shoulder, 2 to the lower back, and 2 to the back of the head. Those were the ones that were fatal. The stab wound to the back of her head was 3.5 inches deep, and it was on the left side of her head, and actually, like, it, I think the knife or whatever it was, like, lodged itself somehow. Weird. And,
if you think about it, there's 2 ways this could have gone.
Yeah.
The fatal wound happened kind of early, and then just imagine someone just, like, just kept on punching.
It happened late, though, because that's the one that didn't bleed.
Okay, and then the second scenario is, you have, like, your skull is, like, almost...
You're just sitting...
In pieces.
Yeah.
Technically still alive.
Yeah. It's insane. Ooh. There were also ligatures around her neck that suggest that a rope was used to somehow choke her. And what ultimately killed her was the stab into the back of her head. Oh, shit. Sorry, guys, I had a timer going. That was the fatal blow which had pierced her brain. The doctor and the autopsy technician that were working on her said that she would have survived this injury for less than a minute. Yeah, if it had been the only thing or if it had been the last thing, she would have survived it for less than a minute. But they were able to prove that this was one of the last things that happened to her because of the lack of, like, blood or bruising, you know.
And it was in the back?
Yeah.
It's the occipital lobe, if anybody was wondering.
The which?
Occipital lobe.
Occipital?
Yeah.
Wow, look at you with that vocabulary, scholarly vocabulary, girl. So police went to the crime scene, and it was insane. They found rope, a hammer, a wrench, a stand that held up, like, products in the store, you know, like the ones that, like, hold up the clothes or whatever, multiple, like, box cutters, and these all could have been used to beat Jaina. The autopsy technician indicated that, yeah, these are easily the things that could have beat her based on what the injuries looked like. And, like, someone would need items that have a lot of weight behind them, you know, like a hammer or a wrench or, like, a big
pole. So it couldn't have been with hands.
Yeah, I mean, it could have, but those wouldn't have been nearly as bad as with, like, you know, being someone with a... If you're beating someone with a hammer versus your fist, it's going to be different. Yeah. There were plenty of additional injuries that she received because she was fighting back and because the wounds often overlapped. So the real number of injuries she sustained were actually much higher than 331. The stab wound was the one that killed her because it didn't bleed. And if a wound had occurred every 3 seconds... The attack would have had to have lasted at least 16 minutes, but we know it lasted at least 20.
If you think about it, I'm pretty sure the human body has 260-something bones.
Yeah,
she had more injuries than the bones in her body.
Yeah.
Isn't that a little bit like.
Ugh, and I gotta think for like her parents to like look at the body. Like, it's just never gonna look like your kid again. I wouldn't have looked. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
at that point people just get cremated.
Probably. I didn't actually look what happened. What they did. What happened.
But I feel like when it's that bad, like people in car accidents.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like where it's really bad. I mean, this is comparable to a car accident. This is insane.
But still.
Yeah.
And if she was fighting back, then it wasn't like, you know, like she was obviously like hobbling around with like broken something.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, police were like, "Let's go find these assholes because we in our little Bethesda here don't want this happen to anyone else."
And not in our Apple store.
Yes, not in our Apple store. Yeah. At this time, people in that same like strip mall, like we have similar things in, like Albuquerque and Santa Fe, where you got like restaurants and stores kind of in the same place. Yeah. Yeah. And people were terrified. Like at that mall, people were actually closing their stores late because the managers couldn't find employees who were willing to work later because they're like, this guy, whoever did this, is on the run. You know, at this point, you assume it's a guy because, well,
who else can punch?
Yeah. You? Yeah. Restaurant.
But is it a guy?
We about to get into it, baby. Spoiler alert. Probably is a guy. But maybe not.
Okay. I got you.
Okay. So, at this point, the restaurants have their capacity slowed down by roughly 50% because people just don't want to go to, like, restaurants and stuff. This reminds me of Corona times.
Right now.
Yeah. They're like, 50%? Oh, no. I'm like, try 25. Like,
we could go lower with that number. Don't even worry.
So, detectives Jim Drury and Dimitri Rubin were assigned to the case. And this is actually going to be Jim's final case as part of the homicide department after 23 years. So, this guy...
That's a good one to end on.
Yeah, he's not joking around. He's like...
We gotta end with a win.
We gotta end with a bang, yes. So, they were like, okay, let's look at the security cameras. And they saw several things. They saw two men walking quickly away from the scene, and they matched the description that Brittany described. And we'll get into Brittany's story and everything. So, news spread quickly, and the town was going crazy. They were like, oh my god, these two guys, like, one of them's short, one of them's tall. It's exactly what Brittany said, you know? And they were like, okay, very suspicious. Very coincidental. It's gotta be them. So, detectives hang around the mall, and they wait to see if these two guys show up, and what they do is that, well, guess what? They do show up. That was bad. Sorry, guys. They work as busboys at a nearby restaurant, and that's why they were seen on camera. This also explains why they were wearing, like, all black and everything, so.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, I don't know. Never mind.
It's scary because you're like, it's you. But I feel bad for those guys because they're like, we're like, being.
Yeah, because it's like.
Accused of murder, but, like,
we literally didn't every detail fits. Yeah. But at the same time, it's 100% not them.
So we'll get into Brittany's story in a second. It's really important that we go over that for a lengthy amount of time, you guys, because things will get a little bit fishy. Wink, wink.
Oop.
So, smells like Jim, fish. Yeah. Detective Jim and Dimitri set up a tip line because they're like, nothing's getting here. So there was also a homeless man who usually was like at a certain bar nearby, and he was like, you know, not really wearing his shoes or whatever. He's like, he's kind of a quirky dude. And he was found later in a hospital, kind of beaten up and kind of bloody. And this was because he got into a fight. And they were like, when did you get into a fight? And it was the night of the murders.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
But he's quickly ruled out because there's not nearly enough blood on him for the amount of blood that there was in the store. And he just didn't have the means to commit the murder. He was actually kind of elderly. And the attempted murder of the two girls was like, that was like a lot of work to put in, you know?
Also, couldn't they test, like, if the blood on him?
Yeah. And it didn't match up, whatever. But, like, Jaina and Brittany, they were to Lululemon. They were in shape. Like, both of them were super adventurous. Both of them were into yoga, you know what I mean? So they were, like,
I'm also pretty sure that Lululemon's the kind of store where it's, like, a requirement.
That you, like, are fit. Would be, yeah.
And where
they would be that kind of store, they would.
Because there's, like, have you ever been to a Lululemon store? Yes. They sometimes have group workouts in front of the store.
Yeah.
I walked by one, and there you had, like, trainers, and everyone was wearing Lululemon. And I'm like, I will join this if I can get free Lululemon.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I will do it, but if you
y'all are sweating and look like you're about to die from this workout, but at least you're wearing Lululemon.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Brittany was, like, the missing puzzle piece. police had gone over basically everything else, and they were like, well, why not interview Brittany? Which is obvious. So Brittany was interviewed basically the same day that she was in the hospital. She was actually in the hospital when she was interviewed. She was interviewed by Detective Deanna Mackey, and she told police basically this, that after cleaning and closing up the store, the two girls went to go walk out of the store, and Brittany was going to take public transportation home, and Dana had, like, a car. And then Brittany realizes that she had forgotten her wallet to go inside the store, had forgotten her wallet inside the store, and asks Jaina, like, yo, can you please, like, go open the door for me so I can go get my wallet and, like, you know, have my bus pass or whatever. And Jaina's like, yeah, no problem. And so they go in at around 10:05 p.m. Some sources say 9:45. I'm not exactly sure which one. They go in, look for a few minutes, can't seem to find it, so they decide to leave. Brittany says that as they leave, in walk two men that follow them inside, and they began physically and sexually attacking them. They were two men dressed in all black. They were wearing ski masks and gloves. One was tall, one was short. They matched the description of those two busboys almost exactly. Brittany heard their voices, and she said based off of their voices, they sounded like they were Caucasian, you know, they were men, you know, and whatever. Both women were beaten, and both were sexually assaulted, and at one point, they even rummaged through their stuff, and the men learned the names of Brittany and Jaina, and they even figure out where Jaina lives. The men were just, like, yelling racial slurs, calling them, you know, in sexual, like, bad
slang, yeah.
Yeah, slang such as, like, sluts and whores, and they're specifically targeting Brittany, and Brittany was black, and Jaina was white, and they kept calling Brittany the N-word and everything. It was just, like, these were just the world's worst people.
But Jaina...
Yeah.
Was the one that died.
Yes. So according to Brittany, this is what happened. One guy punched her in the back of the head, while the other dragged Jaina by her hair to the back room and began cutting her. One guy then continues to rape Brittany while calling her awful racial slurs. Brittany specifically remembers, like, the sound of, like, them unzipping and zipping up their pants, you know, the swish of their jackets. Like, it's very vivid in her memory. But why did Brittany survive and Jaina die? Brittany answers the question by claiming that the men told her that the only reason why she didn't die was because she was, not my words, quote, fun to fuck. Right?
That's just, like...
Yeah, so it's, I mean...
Uncomfortable.
These two guys are awful, right? They also...
By Brittany's words.
Yeah. They also were raping her with, like, clothing hangers and... like, anything they could find. I mean, it was just awful. And after this, they made her open up the cash register and the safe. And during all this, Brittany kept hearing a bloodbath with Jaina. And she could see the other guy beating her until she just went quiet. And after this, the two men took Brittany, tied her up in the bathroom where she passed out. After the interview, she was really, like regretful, not regretful, but like she kept blaming herself because she was the one that had forgotten her wallet, and she also kept asking, like, you know, is my friend okay, because at this point she did not know that Brittany didn't make it.
Yeah.
Yes. Or that Jaina didn't make it. My bad.
Jaina, yeah.
Brittany was interviewed several other times, and this is really important that we go over these interviews. The third time that she was interviewed, police took samples from her hair and her saliva and her blood. And they found that in Jaina's car, there was blood that matched that of Brittany. So something doesn't really add up. And actually, after this interview, Brittany's siblings, Brittany's got a lot of siblings, we'll get over that in a second, actually called the police and told them that Brittany did not tell them everything. Specifically, things to do with the car.
So her own siblings snitched on her?
Well, I think they were trying to do the right thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like saying that's kind of bad.
But. Yeah, you'll see, don't worry. This is basically perfect because police had this clue from her siblings with some good clues with the actual hair and saliva and blood in the car. So things get a little stanky, to say the least.
Ooh.
So after coming in for a fourth interview, Brittany brings up the car on her own and indicates to the police that she was hiding something within that car. Here's a discussion question. I don't know if she's had gone better by mentioning it in the first place or mentioning it later, because the way that the car gets moved is, like, really insane. Because basically what she tells the police is that before they sexually assaulted her, and they'd already beaten her up for a little bit at this point, they asked her and forced her to move Brittany's car. They forced
Brittany to move
Jana's car. Yeah. And police were like, okay, well, why didn't you leave? Why didn't you drive to, like, another store? Like, why didn't you go get help? And she had drove it, like, a few blocks away. And she said she was scared because they knew where she had lived because they had rummaged through her purse and found stuff about their parents' address. Right? So she actually even walked back from parking the car. She passed two people while she was already heavily bleeding.
What were those two people thinking?
I think it was an accident. You know, like, okay.
Or maybe she said she passed two people.
Yeah, I think it's pretty I think it's confirmed, though. Well, I don't know, because...
I can tell you, if I saw a girl walk by, beat up and bleeding, like...
Yeah, I'd be like, oh... Like, I'd be like, are you okay?
I wouldn't be like, oh, see that every day. You good, girl?
But here's, like, I don't be devil's advocate. One time, a few years ago, I was running, and then I tripped, and I injured my head real good, and I had a really big cut and was bleeding a lot, and I was super embarrassed, so, like, hurried home, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, if someone had passed, you'd been like, are you okay? I'd have been like, I just fell on my face, you know?
But like, you did.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're being attacked in your store and you need help.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So, yeah,
But, I mean, at this point, this girl's already lying, so...
Previously, though, when the first few interviews, police were like, why did you lie about the car? Why did you lie about where it was placed? Why did you lie about your stuff being in there? And Brittany was like, well, I don't know. Like, previously, Brittany was like, well, I don't know. I've never seen her car. I've never even been in it. And police were like, bitch, your freaking saliva was in there! You know, and then she was like,
oh, that's mine?
Yeah. What? And then she was like, oh, I had to drive around real quick while they were beating up Jana.
So I did know what her car looked like.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So then there were several clues, because at this point, if you don't really get it, police are kind of at a loss, and they kind of have to investigate Brittany. As if you haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah. Although, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like as the detectives, I wonder how they felt, because, like, at this point, the media sees Brittany as this, like, poor woman that was assaulted sexually, went through this horror, and now these detectives are accusing her of something. Like, what did the, like, that's not, like, you don't want to be the guy that accuses a sexually assaulted woman.
Yeah, or, like, a survivor of this awful thing. Like, think about she must have a trauma.
That's what people were thinking. And then they're like, this stupid cop, like, now he's questioning her.
Yeah.
That must have put him in, like, an awkward position.
That is. So, before we get into the clues real quick, though, let's take a quick break, and we'll get right back into it after this short message from Anchor. All right, baby, we're back. Let's get into those good clues. Okay, first off, Brittany was lying. And to some degree, it was because, you know, the girls weren't actually sexually assaulted. Because as it turned out, Jana also wasn't sexually assaulted.
Oh, shit.
Yes, they discerned that from the autopsy. And, you know, things weren't going great after that either. The second thing that the police really noticed was that Brittany, in comparison to Jana, was got off lucky. Brittany had little scarring. Her injuries were superficial, just cuts and minor bruises. She did have two significant cuts, one to her forehead and one, like, on her thumb and, like, you know, between the webbing between her thumb and finger.
I mean, also, if you think about it, Jane is dead.
Yeah.
Brittany got out of the hospital in 2 days.
Difference. Yeah. So, like, you were hoping that if the attackers were, like, equal, you know, that they would at least have, I'm not saying this, like, I hope they would, you know what I mean? Like, no, look, that you would think that Brittany would be, like, in the hospital for several months, you know, or, like, at least weeks, or at least 4 or 5 days.
A lot of times. Yeah.
Yeah. Jana had, like, severe damage of all of her body. Like, we went over her autopsy. You can go back and listen to it again if you want. And she even might have had, like, a rope tied around her neck at one point, so, like, this did not happen to Brittany at all. The worst thing she really had were those zip ties, you know?
Which
was not that bad.
There's actually a way of getting out of zip ties. I've seen videos.
There's a Try Guys video on it.
Yeah, that's what I've seen. Yeah. I mean, I understand that when you're, like, freaked out, you're not really thinking about, like, okay, I put my hands like this, tighten
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm just putting that out there. You can get out of zip ties, ladies.
I know, yeah. Then, the next clue was the vehicle. Brittany claimed that the assailants had, like, forced her to move Jana's car. And then, you know, why didn't she drive to a police station? Why didn't she just go to, like, another location to go get help? Why didn't Brittany tell the police about this in the initial telling of the story? You know, why did she wait so long to reveal what actually happened to her? And then most of all, there was blood in the car, on the handles, on the steering wheel. And this blood, baby, it happened to be Brittany's blood.
Brittany's blood in Jana's car?
Yep. So, yeah. And then, do you remember at the very beginning, there was an Apple store right next door. And they had a very busy day because, you know, the iPad 2. Woo!
That's, that might have been a special day. That was a special day.
A special day, yeah.
You gotta commemorate it.
Yep. Was coming out. So they were there for a really long time, and employees were definitely still around when this all happened. And they shared a wall with a Lululemon store. So police were like, yo, you guys must have heard something. Like, what's going on? And this is where the case just blows wide open. The employees were like, oh yeah, we heard something. We heard intense arguing and fighting between two women. The manager even said that he heard, like, heavy breathing and then, like, a final, like, heavy breath. Like, you know what I mean?
That is, like, if that was, like, a dying breath, how yeah. thin are the walls that you can hear that?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Because it's probably, like, a breath when you're sleeping, like.
Well, but I don't think so. Like, when you're fighting someone and then you, like, get, like, have, like, a punch or whatever, something that, like, knocks you the fuck out, like, that's gotta be pretty, like, rough.
Probably, like,
I mean, knock a wood that we're never in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That don't happen. Okay. So, we're gonna be good. So then they also heard someone saying the following words, and this is pretty sad, guys. They heard Jana begging, talk to me, don't do this, like, what's going on? God, help me, please help me. And, you know, employees
Apple
were like,
store employees, God, please help me.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So the Apple Store employees were like, yeah, all right, must be some drama. Because that's what the manager told police. He was like, I thought it was just like drama between two girls. So, yeah.
You don't pray for God's help.
So they didn't go call 911. They didn't go help. They didn't like call the police or anything. They were just like, it's just drama. Like, it's fine. Like,
if you ever hear drama and you hear those lines, I know girl drama can be intense.
Yeah, I know it can be dramatic.
We are some emotional people. Yeah.
Yes. Emotional bitches, let's be honest here.
Yeah, but we do not try to kill ourselves and do not beg for our lives.
Yeah, we don't try to kill each other and things like that. Unless you're apparently Brittany Norwood, but that's fine. Oops, I just spoiled it. Whatever.
I feel like at this point, if you did not get it.
Yeah. So there was significant analysis of the scene done. And there was blood found because, you know, according to Brittany, there were four people there that night. Jana, Brittany, and then tall guy, short guy, you know?
Also, if Jana was fighting back and there was another dude, there should be blood from the other dudes.
Exactly.
There's no blood.
There was only blood found from two people, and do I even have to have you guess?
Let me think.
Okay, think about it. Think about it. Real deep. Real deep. Take your time.
One is definitely Jana.
One is definitely Jana. This is true.
And one's it might be Brittany?
You know what? It just might. It just might be Brittany.
Oh
it
my
just
god.
Might.
I think I need to become a detective.
I think.
I got this.
Forensic science, here I come. So.
Switching my major?
Yeah. Remember how Rachel and Ryan, those were the two people that had found them at the very beginning. They'd seen footprints in the store. Well, there were only two footprints / shoe prints found at the scene. Okay, now one belonged to Brittany. We know that because she had to go move the car. Now, the other one belonged to, you want to guess? This one is actually like a good guess.
The non-Jana?
Nope.
The homeless dude.
No, he didn't. He wasn't there. Well, I should clarify. Jana's...
One of the Lululemon shoes that they just sold there.
Yeah, kind of. Interesting. Good guess. Basically, I'll clear this up for a second real quick. Jana's shoes were found around the scene, but not, like, covered in blood or anything. You know, like, she would have walked around the store, obviously. Of course, her shoes were around there. But those shoe prints, and they were everywhere, had belonged to a size 14 sneaker. that was later found smeared in blood in the store.
On display.
Well, yeah, cool, on display. It's interesting. Just imagine, like, bloody shoe prints being like, is that a new style? Is that, like, tie-dye or something?
It's like, oh my god.
Like, I know for a fact there are people at our school that would wear that and be like, it's so cute.
It's a new thing. Yeah. It's a new trend. You guys just don't know it yet.
Yeah. No, the shoes were found in the store. They were, like, recovered on the shelf. And Brittany claimed that those were just, like, shoes that the customers would try on to make sure that their, like, fit looked good.
Oh.
Yeah, or some shit like that. Also, the attackers, this is super, super interesting. When it came to the analysis of the scene, police found that attackers didn't bring any weapons. They just used stuff they found in the store. So the hammer, the wrench, the mannequin peg stand, the merchandise peg stand, the rope, all the stuff could be found inside the store, including the zip ties that Brittany was tied up with.
And you would have to know where those zip ties are, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So,
if, like, you worked there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe. Yeah. So, the attackers. Let's get into those guys for a second real quick. According to Brittany, they were just, like, the worst people ever. Like, they were racists, rapists. They were just attackers who attacked random people, you know?
And killed.
Like, they were just, like, everything that people wanted to hate, you know? Ooh. Who doesn't like a racist or a rapist? Let me see. Donald Trump. Oh, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
So at this point, detectives are like, yo, Brittany, come on. At this point, it's obvious. All we need is a confession from you. And detectives were able to get her because, well, she had been lying ever so slightly during each interview when big things came up. If you remember, I mentioned how Brittany was able to describe in detail how she heard the sound of the guy's pants zipping up, you know, or how his jacket swooshed. But the car, she just couldn't really remember moving, or she didn't incorporate that into her story. She was also, like, you know, she would stumble over big details, like the weapons, or she would stumble over her words, or use the same word too much, and things like that. At one point, detectives were like, okay, do you have anything at all that you want to get off your chest? And she was like, no.
No. I'm good.
Yeah. And detectives were just like, yeah, right, you whore.
You whore?
No, they were like,
hopefully they didn't say that.
No, they were like, oh,
you liar.
God. Yeah.
I'm surprised they, like, after the first lay, they weren't like, let's take a polygraph test.
Well, they even told her that they thought she was lying, and she was like, yeah, so?
I bet she pulled the, like, traumatized.
Partially, I bet, yeah.
I'm gonna forget things. How can I remember?
I was sexually assaulted, you know?
I mean, but if you are, that's not a joke. But if you aren't, don't play that card. Yeah,
yes. So, she only ended up confessing, and she kind of confessed. She didn't mean to confess after her brother came in to talk to her and convinced her to confess. And this is a very interesting way that this all came out. Her brother was just like, he was like, come on. Like, it's like everything's pointing towards you. Like, we know you did it. And her brother was, and she just told her brother, she was just like, I just don't want to be, like, I don't want to have anyone be disappointed in me.
Wow, that's quite the disappointment.
Honey, you killed somebody. Like, it's not like your mom's gonna be like,
I think you hit the bottom, rock bottom. I don't think you can go any lower.
Yeah, and the whole time that her brother was talking to her in that police interrogation room, you know, police left, and obviously they were being recorded because that's just what police do, right? And she was like, dude, am I being like recorded right now? My brother was like, no, not at all. And detectives got her confession on tape, and he was like, why'd you do it? Was it shoplifting? Foreshadowing. And she was just like, I don't know, like, it was like a blur in the moment thing. Like, I just snapped, and
decided to kill someone.
I was so stressed, like, and, which is not a valid excuse, it's like,
I am stressed a lot.
Yeah, but you don't kill me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you even know, yeah. I'm a stressed out gal. I have not killed anyone yet, though.
Yeah, so after she confessed to him, he was like, oh shit, we gotta figure out a way to, like, get you out of here.
So then her brother tried to, like, help her,
like, figure out, like, a better story.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he was like trying to figure out ways so that way they could make it so that way it looked like Jaina had provoked the attack. Yeah. And he was also, he was like, Brittany, you have to lie better. You're so bad at lying.
Let's get some acting classes
in. Yeah. He's like, and he was literally like when you look up and look down at your shoes, like, trust me, looks like you're lying, you know? Just stare behind, stare at the
police officers. Blink at all.
Yeah, he was like,
they'll believe you.
But, I mean, it kind of makes sense because she was like, he was like, whenever you're lying, you look down, look into their eyes and you're lying, you know? And he's like, trust me. I do it all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. So then, surprise, surprise, as we all are very, very shocked, Brittany was arrested for the murder of Jaina Murray on March 18th, 2011. That was exactly a week after the murder had occurred and 6 days after the two women were found.
At least it caught her fast.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wow, that was like really
shocked. Imagine people just like babying her. Because yeah. She pronounced herself as a victim and then she got away with murder.
I know. Ugh.
That would have been a scary thought.
I mean, stuff like that, like, if you can get away with murder like that, that's really impressive. But at the same time, I don't want to be your friend.
I don't think that's a skill that you should
have. Yeah. So the media was like, yeah, we're going to cover this like crazy. And everyone was shocked because they were like, someone's on the loose, you know? Like,
these two rapists.
Yeah. And thank God for Apple because their store was finally able to get, like, you know, their capacity up again.
Oh, my God. They were suffering.
They were hit because of the iPad, too. Yeah. And this is a really sad fact, you guys. Jaina's family heard about the arrest and, like, the confession on the same day as Jaina's funeral. So they were, like, driving to her funeral. And then
they just got the call from the detective.
Because Jaina's mom had even sent Brittany flowers while she was in the hospital. And I can't remember, but Brittany might have refused them, being like, I can't deal with that. You know, whatever, but... Ugh! Like, whatever.
I mean, thank God you didn't, take the flowers.
So, we'll get into it in a second, but it is kind of a heat-of-the-moment type of situation, because Jaina and Brittany were actually pretty similar people. I mean, they worked at Lululemon. Like, you have to... Like, you and I were young adults. We're young female adults, you know? We look at Lululemon as, like... You know, a God store. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you work there, good on you. So Jaina is the one who unfortunately passed away. And she was the one who was just absolutely destroyed by her injuries. She was described as a thrill seeker. She'd actually gone bungee jumping for her 30th birthday. She had like gone skydiving previously. Like she was just like, she wanted that adventure lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had two brothers and honestly, she had two parents. One of her brothers was actually serving in Iraq at the time that this happened.
Oh my God.
And he was informed about it when he was in Iraq. So Jaina was like super athletic and really loved yoga and like the lifestyle that came with it. And she loved Mexican food, which is like, you know, random fact, but it's so cute. And she wanted to work in Lululemon's corporate office after finishing her master's degree. And she was actually working at a master's degree at Johns Hopkins University.
John Hopkins.
Yes, and she was actually pursuing two master's degrees from John Hopkins.
Sheesh.
Yeah, I know. Jaina, this is, again, brace your heart, guys. Just duct tape it together right now real quick. Jaina had a longtime boyfriend, and I think his name is pronounced Frazier. And they were, like, they were it for each other. Like, they were long distance at the time. I'm not sure, but I think they were long distance at the time.
So he wasn't even there.
Yeah, and they were, like, they were it. Like, they were going to have kids. They were going to have a life, you know, and... Ugh, that's like, again, thank God you all, you know, glued your hearts together already, right?
Oh my goodness. I'm, like, looking at the pictures.
Yeah. It's rough. Ooh. Yes. Jaina was one of those girls who was just, like, always happy, and she always had a smile on her face, and, like, her smile made others smile within the room, so.
That's always the good ones.
Yes. There is a memorial at the Lululemon store where this all took place, and if I remember correctly, it's, like, still open, like, you can go to this Lululemon and everything.
It's still open and working?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Don't worry, I think they got rid of all the bloody clothes.
Well, no, I realized that.
At least washed, no, they would have gotten rid of them.
But just imagine walking to that store.
Imagine, you know, like, imagine the morning there being like, I'm gonna go shopping for my leggings. I'm getting there being like, oh, well.
No, it's like, I have to go to the bathroom. Because it happened in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
That's where their bodies were found.
Kind of, yeah. Jaina was found, like, in the hall, and then Brittany was found in the bathroom, yeah. So she left behind two brothers and her parents, and then her boyfriend. So Brittany was very similar. So Jaina was 30, and Brittany was like, I think she was either 28 or 29 at the time. Brittany was 5'2", like 120 pounds, and I think Jaina was like a little bit taller and like maybe, you know, a little bit heavier, but it doesn't really matter. They both were incredibly active and loved fitness, and Brittany especially had grown up in Washington State, and she actually went to play soccer at her Stony Brook University of New York, and she was actually named the team's defensive MVP. Yeah. She had a really big family. She was the sixth out of 9 kids.
Wow.
Yeah. She had 4 sisters and 4 brothers, and she was a good kid. Like, I would have been friends with her. She had like a babysitting service in her teens, you know. The day before this all happened, she actually like ran through the rain to go pick up her nephews from school when their mom was busy. And their mom, by the way, is a surgeon.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she was like, you know, she was doing great. Her dream was to one day open up her very own gym. So yeah, she was like a good person. There were maybe like a few red flags. A former teammate of hers told authorities that like when new players came onto the team, that she told them to always lock your stuff up, because Brittany had a tendency to steal things. Mm-hmm. There's also one other big thing that we'll talk about after all this.
Okay.
But other than that, she was great. She was a great person. So it all kind of culminated at the trial when Brittany pleads guilty, because there really is no evidence to suggest anything otherwise besides her well-concocted story that kind of broke down. You know? Both families attended the trial, but they sat on opposite sides of the room. So, you know, like, family one side, aisle, family other side. And before her trial, she was, like, because, you know, before you have a trial, you're in jail.
Yeah.
She was surprisingly, shockingly unconcerned. She kept calling her family and was, like, I'm just worried I'm, like, not going to look good. Like, I want to get my nails done and my hair done before the trial, but, like, that's not going to happen.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And her trial was shockingly short because there's nothing to really consider. Jaina's family actually opted for a full trial because they were like, the lawyers were like, listen, you can actually have her take a plea deal, you know? But Jaina's family was like, no, we want to know what happened to Jaina. Yeah.
I mean, props to them.
Yeah, I think that's, I would do very strong. I'd been like, yeah, I want to go through a trial.
But really? I would be like, yes, I want to know everything that happened.
Yeah. Maybe my true crime heart would have been like,
tell me
everything. I'd be like, tell me why I'm crying. Yeah. So the big question was, like, was there premeditation or not? Did that knife that ultimately killed her slip? Like, was Jaina beating her to kill her? Or was it purposely placed in the back of the head, you know? But here's how this fell apart. There were so many hits and injuries that, you know, it would have taken her between 16 minutes and, like, 20 minutes just to inflict those 331 wounds, you know?
Yeah.
She never said stop. She never stopped herself. She never realized that, like, you know, 10 minutes in, she was like, oh, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
You know? And, but she kept going. The jury found her guilty of first-degree murder after only 21 minutes of deliberation.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, and, like, you know, for most cases, it's several hours. You know, you go into the night. Sometimes it's days long, yeah. And the whole trial only lasts, like, a few days, and it happened in October / November of 2011. So her defense team was, this is going to sound ironic, defenseless. They didn't have anything to, like, they, how could you argue anything? The one thing they wanted to do was give her a chance of parole. So they didn't call any witnesses. They did not deny Brittany's guilt. They were like, yes, she's guilty. But they just tried to make her seem, quote, not in the right state of mind.
I mean, it's hard to defend someone that already,
that killed someone so brutally.
Yeah. Or also that admitted,
yeah,
to killing. Because she did accidentally,
yeah, yeah,
admit to it.
They just said that she lost it. She was stressed. She, you know, like, Brittany was, based on her past, she was a good person. But just something
snapped.
Yeah, something snapped. And Brittany basically thought that the only way to deal with Jaina's situation was to kill her. So,
so wait, so Brittany was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The attack lasts around 16 minutes, and the idiot Apple employees can be like, yeah. They're like, yeah, it lasted around, you know, 10, 20 minutes. And they were like, yeah. I'm like, come on, you assholes.
So a woman was beat to death.
Yeah.
10, 20 minutes, but we just listened.
I know, we were like, it's just drama. Which, yeah, it's drama, but it's not good drama.
That's not drama, though. That's, like, another level.
Uh-huh. Brittany could have stopped herself multiple times, which is one of the big reasons why this is, like, not okay, you know? But what about motive? Why did she do this? So, there are multiple theories as to why Brittany would do such a horrible things, but it all kind of came down to one consensus. And when I left the store, this is what happened. The first time, you know, the girls cleaned up the store, they were closing, and they were like, okay, you know, they're like, all right, bye, you know, whatever, and they locked up. And then Jaina, Lululemon has this policy that you have to go through the other person's belongings that you're working with to make sure that they're not stealing anything.
Yeah.
And Jaina finds a pair of leggings in Brittany's purse that have, like, the tag on it. She can't find a receipt for it, and she confronts her about it, and it's basically like, what the hell? And Brittany doesn't really have a defense. She's like, yeah, okay.
I just wanted the leggings.
Yeah. And basically, like, which, by the way, don't we all just want Lululemon leggings?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. And Jaina was like, okay, you know what, we'll just deal with this tomorrow. Like, I'll go talk to upper management. Like, it's fine. And then they leave. And Jaina goes to her car, and Brittany begins to plot her way out of it. So Brittany, the genius that she is just like, okay, let's tell her I forgot my wallet. And says she forgot her wallet, and she calls her coworker because she doesn't have Jaina's number. And the coworker calls Jaina. Jaina's like, okay, yes, I can meet her at the store so we can go look for her wallet. Because Jaina's a sweetie. Because honestly, if you're working with someone and you find out that they were stealing from the place you're working, and then, you know, they were like,
bitch about it.
Yeah, they'd be like, I lost my wallet in the store. I'd be like, oh my fucking god, really? Like, I bet Jaina wasn't like, yeah, I want to go get your wallet, but she did it because, like, what else are you supposed to do in that situation? Yeah. So this kind of shows premeditation, because Brittany, like, plotted to get the wallet even though she already had it, you know? So then two potential things occur next. First, Jaina tells Brittany that she had to call a manager, and that just sets Brittany off. And Brittany could have asked Jaina to downplay it, and, you know, how and, like, what she stole, and try to convince her, like, not to tell.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that, like, Brittany lied about her wallet, went to the store the second time with complete intention to hurt Jaina. Right?
To hurt? Yeah. Not to kill, though.
Or hurt or kill, right?
Yeah.
So she either she went in there thinking, I'll talk to her, like, I can get out of this, and then Jaina told Brittany, I had to call a manager, and then Brittany's like, it's like, I'm gonna do it, you know?
Yeah.
Or Brittany went in there thinking, I'm just gonna hurt her from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, as a kid, I thought that phrase was gecko.
The little lizard.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, gecko, okay. Get-go. Yeah. So then what happens is that, well, Brittany beats Jaina in order to keep her quiet. She beats her 331 times, as we learned before.
And keeps her so quiet, though.
Yeah.
To the point where she dies.
Yeah.
Can't say anything.
Jaina is screaming the whole time, don't do this, why are you doing this, talk to me and more. And Apple employees are just like, I just imagine them there with, like, a little glass, you know, being like,
oh my god, what
drama.
Is it?
Like, listen to the drama, bitch, you know?
Like, oh my god.
Yeah. Brittany beats Jaina with a hammer, a wrench, a mannequin stead, a mannequin stand / like peg thing, box cutters, more. And at the beginning of this beating, Jaina actually manages to, like, escape several times. One time, she manages to make, like, a mad dash to the back door. But, like, Brittany gets to her first. And, like, one time, she's running, trying to get out of it, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell because there's just blood everywhere. Yeah. Mm. And, like, they're on the back door, it's, like, her handprints are on
it. Oh, my God. Oh.
Something like that, yeah. And it's, like, yeah, it's awful. Something like that. I was, like, oh, my God. So after she realized what she had done, Brittany has to, like, make a plan to cover up what happened. And she spends a very long time doing this. The first thing she realizes she has to do is move Jaina's car. And so she goes to move her car, and then she sits in it for over an hour trying to think of a plan. And a cop actually sees her. So mind you guys, this all happened around, you know, shortly after 10 p.m. So the cop
just drives by her and she's bloody.
Yeah, or like at least, or maybe she cleaned herself up a little bit, who knows. And a cop actually sees her and whatever. Jaina goes back to the store, or Brittany goes back to the store. She takes a pair of shoes and makes shoe prints. Those were those size 14s, whatever. And she makes shoe prints all over the store so that it seemed like someone came in and attacked her and Jaina. They were size 14 men's shoes, which, you know, that was not something any of the girls wore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after that, she cuts Jaina's leggings and cuts her own so that way, you know, it would be suspicious regarding any sexual assault, and sexual assault should be treated as seriously as possible.
Yeah.
You know, so as soon as someone appears sexually assaulted, all you want to do is believe them.
Yeah.
Which really played to Brittany's advantage here, even though she was totally lying. Brittany then cuts her own leggings using a knife or box cutter, and then she, like, cuts her arms up a little bit. And I don't know how she managed to do this, but she made, like, a remarkable gash, like we said, on the webbing between her thumb and her index finger, and also a gash on her forehead. Like, imagine cutting yourself.
I feel like at that point you're on so much adrenaline.
Yeah. Because
of the nerves and what just happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't feel.
You're like, ugh. She then binds her own arms with zip ties that she found in the store and poses herself in the bathroom. And it's estimated that she spent around 10 hours creating this crime scene and just waiting around, just being like, when are the police are going to show up?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was the one that moaned.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, because Jaina was dead. So at 8 a.m. on March 12th, 2011, Rachel, that employee, comes and finds a bloody mess at the store.
And that is where our story begins.
Yep.
Once again.
So let's get into the aftermath. Brittany was convicted on November 2nd, 2011, like only 6 days after the trial first started. Mm-hmm. Her sentence was life in prison without the possibility of parole. And, like, the judge is really harsh because, like, there's no evidence to suggest that she, you know, was just, like, that she was actually attacked or anything other happened. So when Brittany, like, asked for a possibility of parole, he said, and I quote, "You will live. You will see another sunrise, another sunset. And it may be through a prison window. There'll be Christmases. There'll be telephone calls. There'll be visits. The only visits Jaina Murray will have are those to her grave." So, like, he's very direct about it. He's like, someone's dead because of you, and you need to live.
I mean, I agree with him.
Yeah, I agree that, like, I think that she could have had a possibility of parole because she did literally just, I think something just snapped. Because, well, we'll get into it. Similar things have happened in the past. Just saying.
But I feel like if you snap, then you obviously, I mean, I also don't think that people like that deserve to be just, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think she should be walking the streets, but she can have parole after serving, like, 80 years.
I guess, I don't know, by that time she would have been, like, probably 110. Dead.
Yeah, exactly. So. Jaina's brother actually said, like, a statement, too, and his was, like, really deep and academic. He was like, "I've explored all versions of hell to see what kind of hell awaits Mrs. Norwood, including Dante's Inferno, which I had to read for my humanities class, which
I did not read that,
it's quite detailed, so he was like, I want to see what's coming for you. So that's kind of where our story ends. We have a few more interesting facts to go over because, after all,
it's quite the murder.
Yeah, it's quite the murder. First of all, I don't know if you remember this, Sonia, but did you know that Brittany actually had been fired from another Lululemon store because she was suspected of stealing from them?
No.
Yeah, and the store in Bethesda where she was working currently was planning on firing her anyways, but the only reason why they didn't yet was because she hadn't stolen anything from the store yet. And Lululemon, like, I guess didn't have cameras in their store. Whatever. So all
because if they did, they could have totally seen the fact that.
Because she was actually stealing things from all the other girls that she worked at, and she was like, you know, all the girls that they were working with her were like, my things are missing, and I found it in Brittany's purse, or whatever.
Oh.
You know? So Brittany was a total kleptomaniac, just like Mr. Hansen.
Ooh.
Yeah. She was, like, known to lie and steal all the time. One time, she got an entire weave done, and then she didn't pay for it because she claimed that someone in the salon had stolen her cash out of her purse. And then she was like, I'll go get the money to go pay, but she never came back. And she actually threw a fit in that salon and, like, yelled at employees. She was like a little mini Karen, you know?
And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And this is just, like, a little proof that she was totally crazy. Another very crazy thing is, this just proves to you, total crazy loco girl. One time, an ex-boyfriend, like, he broke up with her.
Ooh.
And she was like, So she became physically violent and began stalking him and his new partner. She even went so far as to break into their house together, and she just stole a bunch of random crap. Oof. So then the couple was like, yeah, we're getting a restraining order. But she violated it, like, immediately, and they saw her watching them in, like, her car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, yeah, so that's crazy. This is another very tragic fact. The night that this all happened, Jaina actually switched shifts with another manager. So that manager must be like, oh, my God, that could have been me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine living with that.
Yeah, I know. Ugh.
That is.
Yeah.
That's therapy.
And my favorite part of this whole thing is that we know this judge is a little sassy because what he said to Brittany. He, like...
But it's honest.
Yeah. He hardcore yelled at the Apple employees. And he was like, I hope you live with your guilt forever.
Oh, I forgot about them for, like, a hot second.
I know. So, that was the murder of Jaina Marie. And we're going to call the Lululemon murder.
Guys, don't snap.
Yeah, don't snap. Like,
there's breathe. So many.
Like,
the it thing is. Running is America's number one stress reliever.
Like, I feel like this. Brittany knew she was in trouble because she murdered someone, right? Yeah. Well, not even that. She shoplifted, right? Just take the L and get far from your job already. You can get a new
she's
job.
She's already experienced that. So yeah. It's not, like, something she's like, oh, I can't, like.
Yeah, and, like, she was a good person before all this happened. Like, and also, the thing is, she just took it way too far. Like, 331 wounds were inflicted.
More than her bones.
Yeah.
More than them, her bones in her yes. body. Yes.
Ugh. She really stirred up the sticks.
Oh my God.
So you guys, as always, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter at @2girlsandcautiontape. Comment on our posts, recommend us to a friend, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Please and thank you.
Yes. And as always, this has been 2 Girls and Caution Tape. I'm Tyra.
I'm Sonia. Deuces.
Yeah, there you go. Say it.